Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. The first reading for this Thursday is taken from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 41, verses 13 to 20. I am the Lord your God, who grasp your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I will help you. Fear not, O worm Jacob, O maggot Israel. I will help you, says the Lord. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. I will make of you a threshing sledge, sharp, new, and double-edged, to thresh the mountains and crush them, to make the hills like chaff. When you winnow them, the wind shall carry them off, and the storm shall shatter them. But you shall rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. The afflicted and the needy seek water in vain. Their tongues are parched with thirst. I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open up rivers on the bare heights and fountain in the broad valleys. I will turn the desert into a marshland and the dry ground into springs of water. I will plant in the desert the cedar, acacia, myrtle, and olive. I will set in the wasteland the cypress, together with the plane tree and the pine, that all may see and know, observe, and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this. The Holy One of Israel has created it. God created this world for us. And I'm not talking here about earthly things we can do, but I would say in a general way, look around you. Is nature around you being cared for? Is there something close to your house that you could do a better job or a new job on? What is it that you can do that the earth may proclaim the goodness of the Lord too? I know it sounds like a little thing, but God so loves us. I know when I'm out pulling weeds, I'm not doing that right now, but when I've been out pulling weeds, I thought to myself, I think this will help God to make the new flowers come and the weeds will be gone. God loves us. We need to thank him for the world he has given us and for the land he's given us. Think about it that way and thank him. Psalm 145 says, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. I will extol you, O my God and King. I will bless your name forever and ever. The Lord is good to all and compassionate toward all his works. Let all your works give you thanks, O Lord, and let your faithful ones bless you. Let them discourse of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. Let them make known to men your might and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is a kingdom for all ages, and your dominion endures through all generations. Have you thought about that? Have you just thought about heaven and what it looks like? Am I living my life in a way that I will see that world? Because you will. It's heaven or purgatory for a time, perhaps, or hell. Brothers and sisters, thank God every day for what he has given us. Ask him how you can draw closer to him. Just in little ways. Doesn't have to be anything big, but something you do daily. Turn to him and thank him. I often do that. I just stop for just one moment and say, Lord, thank you that I can get across the street. Or whatever the case may be, it can be little things or big things. But please, brothers and sisters, acknowledge him and acknowledge his love for you through the creation he has given us. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 11 to 15. Jesus said to the crowds, Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent are taking it by force. All the prophets and the law prophesied up to the time of John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah, the one who is to come. Whoever has ears ought to hear. Brothers and sisters, God wants us with him for all eternity. I've said that to you before, and you'll probably hear it again and again. But God wants us with him. He doesn't sit there sternly in judgment. He seeks to bring us to do that which is good. Sometimes we turn away from it. Please say, Lord, help me. Lord, I don't know how. Just be still and quiet. And if you hear nothing, just do what is good. Always do what is good. He will let you know when he has something else he wants you to do. But always do good. Brothers and sisters, we are so loved by God. Do we return it to him? That's the thing. Do we return to God what we want to? Or do we return everything to God? What God has given us, he's loaned to us. It all belongs to him. Give him thanks. You can say thank you because it helped you, but know that the source of it is God. Thank God daily. And I wanted to read to you, there's an optional memorial for Juan Diego. Monsignor Jevis was the postulator for the cause for canonization of St. Juan Diego, and this is what he said. John Paul II canonized St. Juan Diego on July 31st, 2002. That's not very long ago. At the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe, north of Earth, Mexico City, the very location where Our Lady asked that a church be constructed when she appeared to Juan Diego on Tepeyac Hill in December 1531. At the Mass of Canonization, the Pope acclaimed Juan Diego as a great model of holiness, especially for our times. After all, Juan Diego was a layman who humbly accepted the mission entrusted to him and persevered despite many obstacles. His disposition to charity was boundless as he cared for his dying uncle, Juan Bernardino, who was later healed by the Virgin herself. Weeks after John Paul's first visit to the Basilica in 1979, the Pope reflected during his Angelus address to the importance of humility. Humility is not identified with humiliation or resignation. It is not accompanied by faint-heartedness. On the contrary, humility is creative submission to the power of truth and love. That is God. Humility is a rejection of appearances and superficiality. It is the expression of the depth of the human spirit. It is the condition of its greatness. It is this humility that characterized Juan Diego's life. Brothers and sisters, nevertheless, he had a good education, he had done good things in his life, and much was inherited, possessions from his ancestor, but nevertheless, he set everything aside after the apparition to live in a small hut next to Our Lady of Guadalupe Hermitage. He gladly became the humble servant of Our Lady, who desires to console us and make us conscious of God's immense love for us, calling us to conversion. To live in humility requires or demands much fortitude, since it involves fleeing temptation and ridding one's life of sin. It is an arduous battle to uproot injustices and live honestly, to grow in virtue so as to live in true freedom. Brothers and sisters, God wants to do this for us. We're so proud about things we do, so proud about this or proud about that. But what God is asking is that we acknowledge that we've been given this gift, but we don't puff out our chests or our cheeks and tell everybody all about it. We have a gift that we're called to, and the gift is to draw closer to the humble Christ. Draw closer to him. Grow in humility. Jesus certainly did. So many of his saints did that, because it is only in that space that the divine potter who can mold us with sanctity, only God can truly form us to be his chosen people, to be his friends, and to be his children. God, so much. You're thinking, oh, my, I just have to study so much, and then I get my degree, then I'm out there, and I can do whatever I want. You know what? One of the things we ought to do, especially when we're graduating from whatever level of graduation we do, it's a time to stop and say, Lord, you have blessed me with this degree. You have blessed me with your own personal blessing. Lord, I want to follow you. That's an act of humility. I want to follow you. I don't want to go around. You can tell people that you got the degree or whatever, but don't publicize it like it's the grandest thing. Just say, I've been privileged to receive this degree, and I want to use it for the good of others and for the glory of God. Or whatever award it is you've been given, it goes to God and his glory. And when you do that, God will draw closer to you. It might be a few years even before you acknowledge it or feel it. You don't have to sit there waiting all night to God to do something. Just then go about your work and try to do what you said you would do for God. God will hear you. He hears everything. I swear he hears absolutely everything. Trust him. He loves you more than you know, more than you can count or acknowledge or embrace. His love is infinite. His love is overwhelming. You know, when we die, we're going to know. We want to be ready to come to heaven, acknowledge our sins, repent for our sins. Don't push something aside and say, oh, that happened many years ago. It doesn't mean anything. Repent and draw close, and he will fill your heart. God bless you.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.